This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick. In Littleton, Colorado, Columbine High School is closed today, as it is every year on April 20th, to remember what happened there on this day 5 years ago. Shortly before lunchtime, two students walked into the high school carrying bombs and guns. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold wanted to blow up Columbine. They killed 13 people and themselves, the worst school shooting in history. 5 years seems like a long time, and also seems like not that long ago. A lot has changed since then, both on and off campus. Day to Day's Madeline Brand was at Columbine High School last week for this report.
What strikes you first about the school is how normal it looks, a suburban high school next to a park, the parking lot filled with late model cars, the sign out front announcing when report cards come out. And then you think, well, what is it supposed to look like? After incessant media coverage, you'd think it would fairly glow with evil import. But here on a sunny day, 14-year-old Megan Feely says her school is not what everyone thinks.
I think it's fun, except for all the attention we still get. It happened 5 years ago, let it go.
It's a regular high
school?
Totally,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great school to be under, you know? It's not bad.
But for the rest of the country, the name Columbine now means teenage massacre. A massacre that unfolded on live television on April 20th, 1999. This audio tape is from a teacher who called 911 from the library where she was trying to protect students. Harris and Klebold were firing shots just outside the door.
I am on the floor.
Okay, you've got the kids there.
And I've got every student in this library on the floor. You better stay on the floor.
Is there any way you can lock the doors?
Smoke is coming in from out there, and I'm a little bit. The gun is right outside the library door.
That teacher survived, but 4 hours later, 12 students, a different teacher, and the killers would be dead. 15 in all, and the question why asked ever since. One person who thinks he has the answer is 23-year-old Brooks Brown. Brown was friends with both of them, best friends with Dylan, beginning in third grade until the latter part of high school.
They lost their minds. I mean, people don't get that. They did lose their minds. They were crazy. But something drives people crazy. Something drives them to have delusions. Something drives them to things. And I would have to say, 99.999% certainty, it was Columbine High School.
Eric and Dylan were not popular kids. They were outcasts, smart but socially awkward. Tall and gangly, Dylan was painfully shy. Eric was being treated for depression. Brooks Brown remembers that for him, Columbine had a vicious social hierarchy.
A day for me was kind of terrifying because you'd get beaten up, shoved down, called all kinds of names. Everyone telling you you suck, pretty much is what it comes down to, or beating you into knowing you suck. And I was in the middle. Eric and Dylan were the bottom, and I mean of everyone. So a day for them had just been horrifying.
And so Brown believes that daily torture from their peers drove Eric and Dylan over the edge. But Columbine principal Frank DeAngelis says bullying wasn't necessarily the main reason Eric and Dylan went on their rampage.
I think there were many contributing factors. They stated in their journals that they were bullied, but to isolate and just say the reason they walked into this school and killed people was because of the bullying. I don't think you can say that. Or the reason they killed people is because they idolized Marilyn Manson or Adolf Hitler. I don't think there's one contributing factor. I think all of these factors help contribute to creating this hatred. And as a result of this hatred that they had, they committed this act.
And the administration seems satisfied that it's protecting students as best it can without resorting to metal detectors or armed guards. The school also has an anonymous tip box, so a student can inform administrators if another student is doing or planning something violent. And administrators are quick to take action, even for what might seem like small things. If a kid writes a dark essay or threatens another kid, a threat assessment team made up of administrators, teachers, and counselors is convened to figure out whether that student has problems. If so, that student could either be sent for outside professional help or referred to the police. This new campus atmosphere bothers Ryan Bass, a 15-year-old hanging out in a skateboard park with a couple of friends. He goes to a school near Columbine, which he says is a lot stricter now.
Just joking around, if you say, I'm going to kill you, or just messing around, just like slang talk, or like, that was the bomb or something, they'll like take it way suspiciously. Yeah. If you look suspicious at all, you'll like get sent down to the principal's office, and they'll like send you to counseling and ask you if you're like suicidal or you want to kill anyone. So Our school is definitely taking threats way serious.
And so do the police. After the Columbine shootings, it was discovered that Eric and Dylan had been arrested before for robbing a van, but no one at the school knew. Eric had posted frightening messages on his website where he said he wanted to annihilate fellow students, and again, the school didn't know. The police did, but took no action. Now, says Sheriff Ted Mink, that wouldn't happen.
These things automatically now jump up to the top, regardless if they, on the surface, are pretty ridiculous. We take those very seriously, and we investigate those to the fullest potential till we reach a resolution to whether it is a hoax or there's some legitimacy to it. And we have the cooperation of the FBI to help us run down those things. Didn't have that prior to Columbine.
Columbine is still receiving internet threats, promising, in effect, to finish the job. If the authorities now err on the side of too much caution, that's okay in Colorado. A year after the shootings, the legislature passed sweeping laws mandating information sharing between police and schools. So now if a kid gets in trouble with police over the weekend, the principal knows about it Monday morning, and vice versa. Privacy is not as important as it used to be. Safety is number one, and that's how it should be, says Del Elliott, director of the Center for the Study and Prevention of Violence at the University of Colorado.
Because if they don't feel safe, if kids are worried about getting from this class to the next class after this, and who's going to be waiting for them outside the door, they're not going to learn.
But Elliott says schools are slow to enact reforms. He says only 3 of Colorado's school districts have a formal written policy for sharing information with police.
They tend, in some cases, to be in denial. In other cases, they tend to want to hide and cover those things that happen so that the appearance that the schools have to their community is one of a very safe place.
Most schools are very safe places. According to the National Center for Juvenile Justice, a child has a much greater chance of being killed at home than at school. But the Centers for Disease Control says bullying is increasing nationwide, and Columbine wasn't the last school shooting. Since 1999, there have been nearly 30 school shootings and many plots caught in the planning stages. Just last month, a student in Nebraska was arrested with 20 bombs outside his school. In that case, a teacher saw him swigging alcohol and then putting on a black trench coat. Also last month in San Diego, 2 students were going to kill their teacher before their classmates turned them in. In Littleton, Colorado, Brooks Brown says he's received emails from kids who said they'd already had guns and were planning on doing something. They told him his story changed their minds. Brown was Eric and Dylan's friend, and he's written a book about them and the Columbine shootings.
Eric and Dylan's aren't that uncommon. They're not like the thinnest part of the bell curve. They're kind of getting towards the fatty edge now. We just don't hear about it. It's not going away. It's just not getting reported.
Brown says it only takes a little vigilance, a little attention, and a little compassion. Maybe a teacher standing up for a goth kid. Maybe an athlete stepping in between a bully and an outcast. Maybe a parent not letting his son hide behind a locked door.
Dylan was a good guy. Very nice. Insecure, but very nice. Eric was very hot-headed, but very damn smart. They were good guys at one point. I have to assume that one little thing could have changed Eric and Dylan.
And saved them and their victims. Anything, Brown says, to let them know they weren't alone. For Day to Day, I'm Madeline Brand.